welcome, Jesus. You are welcome, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory to you. Well, usually I read a scripture before we start, but this morning the Lord had me do something a little bit different. He wanted me to wait for you all to get here, not to start out with an appetizer before the people sat down to receive. So I just know it's very important for everyone that's here in this room this morning for you to hear this. Something that Pastor Bronk preached back in 2013 on Wednesday nights, and I'm sure most of you were not here on a Wednesday night, so you didn't get to hear this prophecy. It is on the internet. You can look on your iPhone if you'd like to and follow along with me. But it's in the website in the year 2013, prophecies on January, February, March, April, May. May the 5th. And it's called Prayer Goes Up to God 24/7. And he prophesied this just prior to going into that whole series on Scarcely Be Saved. And it was brought to my attention, and I've been going over it, and I know it's something that we should hear this morning. So if you'll just be patient with me and allow me to read this to you as it is coming from the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And the word went like this. He said, I heard the Spirit of the Lord begin to say these things, that you're the one that creates atmosphere. I am the atmosphere, but you are the one who creates it through your obedience. For I said in my word that if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. The very best that heaven has to offer earth is presence. Atmosphere, that which changes. Do you not know or understand that I wait for you? That worship I receive with gladness. But the greater benefit is on your part. As I give myself to you, and as you worship me willingly and obediently, I am able to change. I am asking for the level of this house to come up to a new level, saith the Spirit of grace. For I desire to create a habitation, for many habitations of my spirit have dwelt in this house from the beginning and still. But I desire that habitation to change, as I said, from glory to glory, so that those who come in and will be amazed, not at you, but at me, saith the Spirit of grace, that their lives will be changed. I am looking and offering myself to bodies of believers who will humble themselves, who will seek me early and seek me late, and divide their life to me. I promise you, as I have promised you in my word, and I cannot lie, that I will come and inhabit the praises of my people. Do you not understand? I remind you that atmosphere is in the habitation of your praises. As those who come in, having no word spoken to them, having no sermon preached to them, their lives will be changed in my presence. There will be people who were contemplating suicide and will very well carry it out in the days ahead, except atmosphere changes their life. They will not hear the sermon, but they will not even hear counsel, but what they will hear is what they cannot express with words. They will hear and feel my love, my acceptance. They will see and understand for the first time the power of a risen Savior and a church who is moving forward. Satan has come to put your light out. Those who ignore vicious attacks and blind themselves only with well-meaning sayings that do not come from reality of understanding, that a vicious attack is against the church at large and every church in this hour. For I come soon and much will happen in the earth before I come. I am shaking my church to make it a glorious church. Stand by day, stand by night. Do not let your candle go out. This is not a time to be distracted. This is a time to push forward. This is not a time to lay down your prayer closet. This is a time to increase, saith the Spirit of grace. Much work is to be done, but I will empower you. I will embrace you. I will cause you to hear and see my instruction, and I will cause you also to understand that I give you the grace so that this is not you that does it, but it is the strength of my spirit that empowers you, says the Spirit of God. Judge yourselves. I call you to judgment. I call you to chasten yourself before me and would awaken unto righteousness. These are the days. Do not make excuses for your flesh, but offer your flesh to me as a living sacrifice, and I will change you, says the Spirit of the Lord. The church, wherever you're at, whether it's in here in Immokalee, whether it is in this nation, the state, the nation, any continent, any group, I do not call them groups for man's understanding camps, groups as far as the Father. There are no groups and there are no camps. They are all my children. I only see family. But the family that is hearing me, the family that is awake, the family that will rightfully receive and represent my body and the earth to cause my bridegroom to come back and judge the nations, that family is hearing and continually asking of prayer to be the guidance of their life. I am sending out. I must get across and get to my body and grow them up. It must be a short work, for this time is short. I must judge the nations. I must have a standard in the earth whereby I can judge the nations. That standard does not fully exist. My bride is not ready as of yet, but the bride that hears me is asking. They are hearing me. Ask them to divide their life to prayer and prayer and prayer and prayer. I desire that my house be a house of prayer. I desire you will see in the days ahead when this house is fully equipped that the prayer goes up 24/7 every day, every night. People, men and women, adorning themselves, getting ready to receive, getting ready to be the intercessors for the birthing. Satan will continually, and I remind you, though you know these things, will continually fight you over your prayer life. I cannot birth this thing without prayer. I say to you again, as a father, listen to me. I cannot birth this thing without prayer from you. I must have your authority in the earth to do what I desire to do. You call it a revival, and I call it a place, these words within you. Or I have placed these words in you, but I call it an end time move of my spirit, whereby I am able to come back and bring forth the kingdom of my Son and judge all the nations righteously in my spirit. Before that time, many more sons and daughters will be brought into my kingdom. And yes, I joy with you. I dance before my Father in believing that you will receive from me this great harvest where the blind will see and all the notable miracles. And I rejoice in these miracles, for I gave my life's blood, but truly, truly, for you to understand the revelation of the salvation of man and the image of by which I desire man to grow into his image is the greatest of all miracles. None of these supersede the birth of my Son in a man or a woman's heart. I desire that great harvest. I desire it. You must pray it out. I chasten you with love. Hear my words. Listen to my spirit. What excuses have you made for not spending the time? Will you hear this voice one more time in 6 months from now and again answer, how did I let my time slide? I tell you from a father's point of view, you can do this. The flesh tells you that you cannot do it because of your schedule, but I ask you to spend enough time for me to show you how that I can rearrange your time. And many times I speak to you, and yet you go on and on, and you do not heed my walking by walking into the obedience of the things that I showed you. Do not answer your conscience 6 months from now saying, I heard it then. How is it that I have not obeyed to this point? How is it that this is only a repeat of what I've heard so many times? No man is to judge you in this. No preacher, no minister, no pastor is to offer you the plan for your life. I am your personal tutor. I am your personal counselor because I know what they do not know. I know the trials that Satan has brought to you personally. Your trial is a personal trial. The challenges of your life do not fit the challenges of other people. But I tell you, just as individually dwell as I individually dwell in each of you, and just as I individually can speak to your minds and thoughts and dreams and visions and examples, I tell you that if you offer your heart and say yes, yes, Lord, what you need from me is the division of my life in prayer. Do not be afraid, little ones. I will not ask of you what you cannot give. I will not ask of you what labors your life or toils your life or condemns your life. But I will ask of you, what can you do? I will increase you in grace, says the Spirit of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Now, that's a real encouragement to pray. It's a real encouragement. So let's just take it to heart, take it home with you. Like I said, you can find it. If you want a copy of it, I'll be glad to make you one. So God bless you. Let's just worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Change us into your perfect image, Lord. Make us all you want us to be, Lord. We are here for you, God, for no other purpose but you. To love you, to love your beautiful people, God. We love you. We worship you, Jesus.
Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen real quick as we continue to worship. The day that me and you got born again, the life of God came and abode in our spirit. Listen to this now. This goes so much with what Miss Kenny just read in the prophecy. Listen, you have to have ears to hear. You have to have ears to hear. You have to have ears to hear. That word, the prophetic word that she read a little while ago, my friends, that was straight from the throne room of God. You have to have ears to hear. You cannot just go through emotion. You have to have ears to hear. The part of me and you that's opposing me and you right now is our flesh, which has been positionally put to death. Listen to me. The part that's opposing me and you, the part that's opposing our vocal cords and our heart to open up, is a part of me and you that has been positionally be put to death. And the part that worship cries out of me and you is our spirit, where the life of God lives. My friends, you got two operations. One that's been positionally put to death and one that's been alive through the Spirit of God. Listen to me. There's a divider. Spirit, something that's dead. Are we going to let an operation? Are we going to let? Listen to me. If you have ears to hear, if you have ears to hear, hear. If you have ears to hear, hear and discern the Spirit of the Lord. A part of you, a part of me that's opposing us this morning is nothing more than our flesh, which has been positionally put to death, meaning it cannot, shall not, and will not reign over me and you, because the part of us that's crying out is our spirit that has the life of God in it. Listen to me. If you have ears to hear, hear what the Spirit of the Lord will say. Listen to me. If you have ears to hear, do not let a position, a place in you that's been put to death, that has no dominion over you, dominate a place in you that has the life of God in it, my friends. If you have ears to hear, if you have ears to hear, do not allow yourself to be dominated by a place that has been positionally put to death by the power and the life of God, my friends. We operate out of our spirit, in which the life of God dwells. Do not let an emotion, a feeling, reality in the natural dominate you this morning. Don't let it dominate you. If you have ears to hear, do not let that place in me and you dominate us. Let's carry on. Let's lift up our hands. Let's lift up our voice like if Jesus were right here on this stage. Let's magnify him. Let's praise him. Let's not be dominated by a place that has been positionally put to death inside of me and you. We have been lit. We are on fire for God. Yes. Let's speak up and let's worship our God like we never have before. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the Lord.
I worship you. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. I exalt you. I worship you, Lord. Holy, holy God Almighty. Worship you. Worship you, Lord. My Jesus.
I've not given you the spirit of fear, for I've given you the spirit of power and love and a sound mind, saith the Spirit of grace. Yes, sir. He says this. Tell them to cross the field. What is that? Tell them to cross the field. Today is your choice. Cross the field, saith the Spirit of grace. What is in your hand but the sword of the Spirit and the word of truth? The giants that bark at you in the night, they have no place. I'm telling you, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Even as I empowered my servant David to cross the field upon the giant that stood in his face, do you not know that all the emotions of all my army was shut down? But one who symbolized the spirit man rose up against the flesh and said, I will not have it today. I'll cross the field and put you to death, saith the Spirit of
Glory.
Cross the field. It's given to you. No, it's given to you, saith the Spirit of grace, to come against your enemies, whatever it is today. I tell you, lift your hands, worship me. Do not wait for me to come. Come to me, and I'll give you rest, saith. He's speaking to you right now. He's speaking to you right now. Why don't you come on down and stand here. Lift your hands. Whatever it is that's a challenge in your life, you get a chance. 9'6" or so giants standing across the field. Had a whole army of Israelites shut down. He kept barking out for days. Who challenged me? Who challenged me? Had everybody quaking. Fear was so strong. They were paralyzed. You know what you do with fear to unparalyze it? You don't wait for it to go away. David said he stepped up. He didn't wait for the giant to come to him. He went to the giant, challenged him, said, this day, I'll take your head off of your shoulders and I'll feed you. I'll feed you. Something told me. Came through that prophecy, that exhortation, the homework. So come on down. Something's staring at you physically, spiritually, mentally. Come on down and lift your hands. Just want to lay hands on you, baby. Oh, that needs a lot of you. I think you need to step out. Come on. What does the Spirit say? You got the choice. It's yours. You got the choice. My Sokares, if you want him to come, cross that field. My Sokaroso, step out. This is your time to go to a new place in His glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Rosie, bring Homer up here. Let him stand beside me. You glad you've been born again? What's born again? Means that just that. Something that was there is no longer there. Something has replaced it. What has replaced it? The law of the Spirit of life. Now, thank God for the Holy Ghost, because He's God. And He'll come and He'll stand down in you and He'll baptize you. He'll fill you up. But before He fills you up, He can't come in there unless He builds Himself a new home. Because the home that was there before, that's the old you. It was dead. Because it was dead, there was a spirit there that was alive, but it was dead on the inside. It got its nature from fallen Adam. Man, I read a paper this week from one of our young people this week that are going through a Bible college, Jim Martin's Bible College, on what it is to be born again. And I thought, they know more than most preachers. Thank God I go to this church. See, some churches will tell you that God saved you, but He didn't change you, that you're still the same way that you were. No, He saved you, but He saved you because you've been born again. In other words, the person that you were on the inside, that was a dead nature. It wanted to sin. It had the appetites of sin. And it had a law of sin. It just could not. It couldn't break the spell of sin. There was no way to stop it. You couldn't be good enough. You couldn't discipline yourself enough until the day that Jesus stepped into your life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father. There's no other religion. There's no other way except one. His name is Jesus. Do you put your trust in Him and confess that He's died? It's not, somebody said, well, I believe in God. Believing in God doesn't get you to heaven. The Word says the devils know that there's a God. Well, they're not going to heaven. But you are, because you've received Christ. You've said, Lord, on the day that He was revealed to you, you said, Jesus, come in. And when He come in, Romans 8 says that the law of the Spirit of life, in other words, life came into your old nature, and you became born again. You became a new person. The moment you said, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me for my sins, and wash me in your blood. At that moment in time, another law was exacted. You all, before that, the law of sin and death was there. Death reigned inside of you, and God was not your Father. But the moment you said, Jesus, come in, then God becomes, everybody says in this world today, they'll tell you, oh, everybody says God's their Father. He's not their Father. God's not the Father. The moment that you get born again, that's when God becomes your Father. That's why they can't stop sinning, because He's not their Father. But I can tell you, the moment that you confess Christ as Lord and Savior, something happens. A law takes place on the inside. It brings forth life. And that law of the Spirit of life sets you free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. There's something on the inside that doesn't want to sin. And the Holy Spirit comes in and He builds that place. And He's in there because the life that comes from God is on the inside of you. But then, besides for that, the Holy Spirit will say, momentarily, right now, at the moment that you receive Christ as your Savior, I can step in on the inside and I can fill up that whole nature. You get born again, that's something that happens to you. You get the Holy Spirit, that's something that happens besides that which happened to your spirit. He fills up that new nature. Not only does He fill it up, He comes in with the gift. He steps into your new nature with a suitcase called the gift. What gift is it? Oh, He's the gift, but He carries with Him a prayer language. Makadaso Christe. Doesn't matter day or night what you're doing or what you're going through. Man, Homer was nailing it. The Holy Spirit was nailing it through him. We have a choice. Now the flesh, the moment that you get born again, doesn't mean that you step out of your body. You're still living in the same body. And that body has appetites. And that body has its own kind of character with it. In other words, it will resist. And if you allow your soul to go along with it, the soul kind of stands. Jesus came in and the Holy Spirit birthed you, give you a new nature. But that's something that happened to your spirit. God didn't save your mind. He saved your spirit, or He birthed your spirit. What happens is you have to renew your mind by your spirit and by the Word of God. In other words, those key choices that have to be made when you come into church and you're standing there and you say, well, I don't feel like worshiping God. What does feelings have to do with it anyway? You must choose to go along with that person on the inside. And the Holy Spirit steps up if you receive Him. He comes in with a new nature, not only builds that new nature, but He comes in with a prayer language, and He'll begin to pray for you, and He'll begin to cause that person on the inside to get stronger and stronger and stronger. So after a while, even if the soul pipes up and says, I think I'll just kind of spaz out today, and I don't think I'll worship God at all. It'll feel like it's been run over by a Mack truck. Something on the inside will slap it down and say, shut up, you are going to worship. You are going to worship. Hallelujah. But before the Holy Spirit ever steps in, that new nature sets you free. Hallelujah. You've been born again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Lift those hands. We glorify you. How many of you know He came in that wave of glory? Real strong. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I exalt you. Well, Father, we just glorify you right now. That one who's in need, only you. Only you, Lord, can bring forth what they need today. We release that life to them, that grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Your virtue. Thank you, Jesus. We're so glad every one of you are here. We love every one of you. We don't get to say it enough, or we don't say it enough. We should say it more. Hallelujah. If you've not gotten a phone call from me, I'm sorry. The only thing is, he's telling me don't make excuses. Okay. I won't make an excuse, but I'll also make an excuse. No, I'll teach a little bit, but to say it still doesn't exempt me from listening more. We're not your usual church. We're not knocking on doors. What we're doing is, my primary call is to spend time in the prayer closet, to come out here and deliver doctrine and lay hands on you. We need more fellowship, and you do need more calls at times. But what you need more than anything else is what you're getting when you come in here. So if you do pout, and if you do get upset, even though he'd want me to do more, he's still not going to take any excuse from you. Well, I could be going further, Lord, if they come by my house and patted me on the hand and said it's going to be all right. He's not going to take that from you. Why? Because you've got the Bible and you've got the Holy Ghost. That's enough. Hallelujah. So let's all grow up. Let's all grow up. And let's just keep going and get alligator skin hide on the outside. Don't give an offense and don't take one. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Be sensitive to the Spirit. But he said, howbeit in malice be ye children. In understanding, he said, be adults. In other words, we're supposed to malice, strife, he said for us to be children. What does that mean? Well, I went Friday to my grandson's. It was Grandparents' Day. And he was doing something, and I didn't think he deserved any kind of chastisement for it, but he was doing something, and his friend, the teacher was talking, and his friend told on him. And I didn't like his friend for telling on him. And his teacher had a policy, okay, this is what we got to say. Say this, I apologize. So he had to, in front of the whole class, he had to do that whole thing. He was just tapping his friend on the, he wasn't doing anything worthy of chastisement. You know? Not my grandson. And she let him through that whole thing, and I thought he was going to, you know, have a big problem with it when he had to kind of confess in front of the, I'm sorry to my friend, I'm just this, and the other. And I watched him. After it was over, I'd have thought, man, if they'd have put me through that, I'd have pouted for hours. He just got up with the same bunch of friends and ran off and just started playing. Listen, in malice and things that can come at you, let it go. Let it go. Let it go real quick. I'm praying for my family over here because I love them so much. I'm praying for my son or daughter, my grandchild. God, raise them up out of the sick bed. You turn around, oh, I can't look at them. Because I can't deal with them. I despise them for what they did. Every time I look at them, did you know that the same well that you're running over here and asking God to raise up the one you love, that's the same well that you're looking at over here in this one and saying, I despise you. Is it any wonder why, as of yet, the church hasn't entered into revival? But guess what? There is a comforter. There's a way to change. Because if I want him to come over here and heal the one and minister to the one that I love, I've got to get right with God and with man over here with the ones that I don't believe that I could possibly ever love. To the level that I can get my heart right over here is the level that he can go over there and get things done. Do you ever notice when something changes on the inside of you and you let somebody go, that it just seems like within a week, some miracle takes place in your life. Or somebody over here that you were standing for, or something happens. Well, what it is this. Something inside of us is holding back those prayers from taking place. And usually it's malice. Usually it's something on the inside that we cannot let go. Well, I can't let it go. I know you can't. But I know somebody that can help you. And His name is the Holy Spirit. And that's why He steps in to that new nature and says, I will hold up your weaknesses and I'll pray for you. What you've got to do is you've got to give me the place of authority. The first place of authority is this. Don't make excuse for it. If you make excuse for it and say, well, they did, stop it. Stop it. I am what I am because of them. Stop it. Just stop that. And say, Holy Spirit, I give you the right to come in and change my heart. The best place to start is honesty. I remember, how many of you remember Gary Carpenter talking about the Lord coming to him of those people that he said he thought had really, really, really done him wrong? And they had. And he said he hated them. And he said that God approached him one day and said, would you be willing, if I could make you willing, to love those people? And he said, no, wait a minute. You know that I hate them, and I wished them in hell, and I wish I could be the one that sent them there. That's how bad it was. But he said, okay, I contemplated. He said, no, like, I'm not willing, but let's see, if you could make me willing, would I be willing? Let's see, would I be willing if you could make me? Yeah, I guess I would. I would be willing if you could make me willing. And the Lord said, well, do this. Every time you think about them, every time you think about them, pray for them. He said, have you ever tried not to think about something? When you try not to think about something, it seems like it increases its awareness. So he'd try not to think about them. And the more he'd try not to think about them, the more he would. So every time he would think about him, he'd say, Lord, he started out like this. Lord, first of all, you know that I hate him. And you know that I'd really like for him to go to hell. But I'm asking you, Lord, to help me to have a willingness. And I'm asking you, Lord, okay, bless him if you can. Or bless him. It was something like that. He kept praying that prayer, and it kept backing up on him. It kept getting changes and changes. After a while, he said, well, you know, I don't want anybody to go to hell. That's not right. So God, don't send them to hell. But okay, Lord, you can bless them a little bit. Just, you know, some. After a while, he started saying, okay, God, I forgive them. Bless them, Lord. Change them. But you know what happened? He said, after he really got his heart right, he realized he had as much to do, if not more, with what happened and how it all went down than the people that he thought had done him wrong. He realized, oh my God, once the blinders come off, he realized, I had as much to do with all that as they did. I caused it as much as they did. And before it was all over, he was repenting for himself more than anything else. Listen, what happens to us is that the Holy Spirit steps in and he starts changing us. And he causes us not only to have a willingness to forgive those, but then he changes us on the inside. And when that happens, guess what? All these other prayers start getting answered. Immokalee is in revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Immokalee is in revival. Thank you, Jesus. How many are thankful for the Holy Ghost and for the Word of God? Thank you, Lord. I'd appreciate you getting listening this morning and just asking the Lord what he'd have you to give. Do you believe that this is a worthy place to give to and good ground? Well, Homer said, yes, it was. And the rest of you, we're going to stay here for a couple more hours and see if we can convince you. Hallelujah. Why don't you ask the Lord what he'd have you to give this morning? Father, we thank you. We thank you for all this bunch, for sitting here and listening to your word, for the power of the Holy Spirit that you've come with this morning, Father. Daddy, I love you with all of my heart. With all of my heart, I'm asking you to bless these, keep them this week, and bless this offering, and we give you all the praise and glory and thanksgiving for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Well, how many would like to give this morning? Okay, why don't you stand and put these out? As far as I know, hallelujah. As far as I know, when you bring this, you could hug each other and that would be it. Unless you need prayer, we'll be down here for prayer. So bring it down. Hallelujah. Amen. You're blessed. Hallelujah.